Welcome to the Serviced Accommodation Property Podcast. This podcast by Kevin Paneskis, also known as the Property Soldier, covers all aspects of serviced accommodation and how to make it a profitable and sustainable business. Kevin started investing in property in 1991 whilst serving in the British Army and now owns a multi-million pound property portfolio and serviced accommodation business and is a best-selling author. And now your host, Kevin Paneskis.
Hello and welcome to the Serviced Accommodation Property Podcast. Now, today's keynote is the one and only me. So, I know. Thanks for the sincerity, Mark. I'm going to do the keynote today because yesterday, now for those people listening in on the podcast, so yesterday was the budget, and so our service accommodation mastermind is people that we are mentoring in service accommodation. And so what I'm going to talk about today is reaction to the budget announcement that happened yesterday. So in due course, we will find out a lot more information, but this is our initial response to the budget announcement that happened yesterday. But ultimately, the theme of this talk is where there's adversity, there is opportunity, and that's something that I have learned over the years. So let's just talk about this adversity creating opportunity, and the theme of this talk is to keep calm and to carry on. So what's happened in the past? Historical changes in the property industry. Well, first off, 100% mortgages with same day refinance, that got stopped. I can remember when I used to be able to do that. Anyone else, show me a hand in the room, anyone else that's been able to do that in the past? Okay, so they changed that, didn't they? Didn't mean that we can't do property investing, just they changed things. Self-certification, mortgages were removed. Literally, you could just write any old nonsense on a form and that you would get a mortgage. That got removed. That was a bit of adversity. Mortgage interest rates reached 17% during my lifetime as a property investor. Anyone else experienced those? Oh, quite a few old and bold people in the room. More grey hair people putting their hands up to that question. Okay, 17% interest rates, and we were still building a property portfolio in the past. 90-day rule in London for short-term rental people. Show me your hand, you Londoners. Quite a few of you in Londoners doing service accommodation. Some of you already in London, and the 90-day rule is in place. So again, a lot of these things cause other people, naysayers, people that worry and panic to think, okay, therefore you can't do property, you can't do service accommodation. But actually, that just makes way for those of us that are a little bit more creative and industrious in order to be able to do it. And when more people pull away and pull out of the sector, that just creates opportunities, right? It creates less supply, therefore it creates more demand. So that's the way I want you to think about all of these things. HMO licensing. They brought in HMO licensing. I've been doing HMO for quite a few years, and ultimately that came in. People still do HMO. Article 4 for HMOs, restricting people be able to just turn a normal C3 property into an HMO. Article 4, Rent Smart Wales, requiring you to literally have to have a license to do buy-to-let, etc. in Wales. Still, people are still doing that. Selective licensing around the whole of the UK, where there are actually certain local authorities can say, no, if you want to do buy-to-let or HMO or whatever, you have to apply for a license. That's relatively small scale. Most of you probably won't have experienced any selective licensing, but it happens. Section 24, where the government removed the mortgage interest relief on buy-to-let and HMOs for properties that are owned in somebody's own name. Do people still, since they did that, do people still do buy-to-let and HMO? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so a global pandemic. We've all lived through a global pandemic. And let's just talk about that in relation to serviced accommodation. Who in this room was already doing serviced accommodation when the global pandemic happened? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, at least 11, okay? Thank you, and so let's just talk about that. Now show me your hand if you scaled your service accommodation business during and after the global pandemic. That's pretty much all the hands that went up. Yeah, and so people who were part of our mastermind, so Kirsten, Claire, during that time, anyone else? Okay, yeah, being mentored by us. Right, people, Callum putting his hand up. What happened there is that most people panicked, right? And when people panic, that is where people that have got a calm head, yeah, and getting some help and guidance and support can flourish. So where there's adversity, there is opportunity. So what happens when people panic? Lots of people got out of the market and that reduced supply. And where you, when you reduce supply, you increase demand. And that's what one of the things that I want you to be thinking about with this new budget that's been announced. It's going to cause some people that don't actually necessarily know that there's an alternative or way around the situation, they panic, as happened when lockdowns happened. And then that just allowed a more fertile playing field for the rest of us to come and thrive. So the one way of looking at this, the new budget announcement, is that it's going to take out a lot of amateurs out of the market, or people that are just dabbling. And people like you that are investing in yourself in order to create and build a service accommodation business, you're more likely to be able to do it, especially with the help and support that you guys have got. So a global pandemic that actually, and all the naysayers out there saying, oh, well, that's it, service accommodation is dead and gone. And people in this room scaled a service accommodation business during lockdowns. So a new use class, C6 for short-term rental in Wales, that actually came in ages ago and no one even noticed that one. Okay, so a new use class actually came in Wales. Licensing in Scotland for short-term rentals. People are still doing it in Scotland. It's come with its challenges, but people are still doing it in Scotland. Caroline and I literally flew back from Scotland. In fact, no, day before, we flew back from Scotland. Tuesday, yes, it's Thursday today. Flew back from Scotland and we were literally talking to people doing short-term rental in Edinburgh. And that's probably the hardest place in the UK to be doing short-term rental in Edinburgh. So if people are doing it there, then you can be doing it anywhere. Planning in Edinburgh for short-term rentals is in place. So that's the main issue for Edinburgh, is planning is required. And so they're quite strict on it. And then there's licensing throughout the whole of Scotland. And more recently affecting everybody, more focus on fire safety in the SA sector. Now, actually, again, that one, I think that is just something that takes out a lot of the competition. And those of you that are doing service accommodation properly are going to be fine, absolutely, with the new fire safety regulations that come in the SA sector. Now, proposed changes in the property industry. The Renters Reform Bill. The Renters Reform Bill is actually going to help serviced accommodation because many people are not going to want to have tenants. So the Renters Reform Bill is affecting tenants in terms of people living in a property as their home. Yeah, that's what the Renters Reform Bill is going to affect that. Please show me your hand in the room. We've got about, how many people have we got in the room, Matt? About 90 in the room. Show me your hand, how many of you want to do rent to service accommodation or want to do rent to service accommodation and SA management? I would suggest that's about 70 in the room. So the majority of the room want to be doing that. The Renters Reform Bill is definitely going to help you in that area. Because ultimately, rent to SA management is using other people's properties and using it as serviced accommodation and perhaps as an alternative for the owner of doing buy-to-let and HMO. So the Renters Reform Bill is definitely going to be pushing these landlords towards you. Removal of Section 21 notice, so the no-fault eviction for buy-to-let and HMO. So that's part of the Renters Reform Bill. So a lot of landlords are going to be worried about not going to be able to get tenants out of their properties with the Section 21 no-fault eviction notice. They're going to be removing that. So that's still going to help you guys. Planning requirement for short-term rental in England under certain circumstances. So under certain circumstances, you're going to need to apply for planning in order to do short-term rental. That's when they're going to bring in, probably in the summer, an Article 4 type restriction in certain tourist hotspot locations. So the vast majority of you are not doing service accommodation in certain tourist hotspots, so therefore that is not going to affect you. There will be grandfather rights for properties already up and running to carry on. That will just affect new applications where they bring in an Article 4 type restriction, which would need planning in order to do short-term rental. Registration for short-term rental in England and Wales. So that's going to come in, and that's a lot better than in Scotland where there is licensing. So registration, where you're literally just going to put your property on a register, and we don't know exactly how much that's going to be, but it's likely to be a nominal fee, maybe £100 or something like that per year, but we don't know exactly how much yet. But we've looked to Scotland and we've sort of thought, well, they're quite harsh up there, relatively speaking, and it's not that expensive up there for a full license, so registration should be an awful lot less. Removal of tax breaks for furnished holiday lets. So this was announced in the budget yesterday, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper on that. Removal of these tax breaks for furnished holiday let. Now, by the way, a lot of the language that gets used is a bit hysterical. So the Chancellor actually said we're going to abolish the furnished holiday let regime. So a lot of people, you can imagine my social media has got a bit busy. The naysayers, your whole strategy is being abolished. They're going to make it illegal. Okay, no, they're not. They're actually creating a specific use class for service accommodation. But what they're doing is they're going to alter the tax regime for service accommodation, bring it more in line with that of buy-to-let and HMO, but we'll talk about that very, very shortly. So new short-term rental planning use class in England proposed to be implemented in the summer. Okay, so let's just talk about this. The new use class, C5, good news, as less confusion around the most appropriate use class. So those of you that, well, you've all you guys in this room who've come through my training will have heard me say that C3 is the most appropriate use class for serviced accommodation, because an awful lot of the time the local authority is going, oh no, if you want to do service accommodation or short-term rental, you've got to apply for planning, and they're saying, a lot of people are being told, that's C1, or that's got to be sui generis. So that what they've actually done is they've created the use class so that there's no confusion and people in the local authority cannot confuse the issue. And the good news is, the really good news is there's permitted development to go from C3 and C5 and back again, or C3 to C5 and back again. Now, show me your hand again, those of you who want to do rent to SA. Okay, so it's permitted development. You can go from C3 to C5 and back again without even phoning up the local authority. Okay, so that's really, really cool. Unless they put an Article 4 type restriction in your particular area, which, similar to HMO, you need to go through planning to turn a normal C3 into an HMO, right? So if they do that, then yes, you need planning. But for the vast majority of parts of the UK, you're not going to need planning permission. You can convert it under permitted development. So councils have the right, so this is a little bit more information on that. Councils have the right to remove permitted development, e.g. if they deem there is a shortage of homes for local people. So I even heard the Chancellor talk about it yesterday. Places like Newquay or wherever it might be, that there's not enough homes for people to rent or to buy. Far too many Airbnbs as a percentage of the housing stock, and therefore they're going to bring in an Article 4 type restriction in those areas. By the way, those already doing it continue. Yeah, and it'd only be subsequent properties. But you'll have heard me say this lots of times. I don't really want you doing service accommodation in small touristy type hotspots because it's far too seasonal. We prefer the larger towns and cities where there's all year round demand. And in the winter, you can still get bookings from what type of guest team? What type of guests can you still get in the winter? Contractors and trade, so you're getting all year round demand for your serviced accommodation properties. They also announced a new 90-day restriction for homeowners renting out their own or second homes as a short-term rental. Now, a lot of people have got this new restriction 90-day rule confused with the London 90-day rule. So this, the London 90-day rule remains extant. Okay, what this applies to, which is across everywhere outside of London, is that up to 90 days worth of short-term rental in your own home or second home. So this does not apply to doing rent to SA, SA management or anything like that. Yeah, so this 90-day rule applies to basically having people come into your house. Yeah, or your second home, those people that have got a second home, right? Up to 90 days in a year without the need for planning. All right, any questions on any of this? I'll take questions later on. So all short-term rental properties will need to be registered. Now, by the way, this is all predicted to come in the summer. We've all heard things announced, oh, it's going to come in then by politicians and then it doesn't happen this year or next year or the year after. But this is what they predicted, that this will come in the summer. So all short-term rental properties will need to be registered. Just put the details on a register. Registration will probably attract a fee, which will be set nationally by local councils, but it shouldn't be too bad. Wales may implement licensing later. So what the Welsh devolved government have said, that they'll start off with the registration and that might lead to licensing. It's actually caused a lot of problems in Scotland. So we're optimistic that it won't go there in Wales, but we'll see. Again, it will create some adversity, which will create opportunity if it does happen. One of the things to remember here is it doesn't affect guest house, B&Bs and hotels. So this is a form of serviced accommodation that literally none of this stuff affects. Okay, so those of you, I know, those of you that want to, there's people in this room got hotels, that none of this doesn't affect that. And that could be your journey towards guest house, B&B, hotel, part hotel, all of that good stuff. Okay, so the removal of tax breaks for furnished holiday let on the 1st of April 25. The abolition of the furnished holiday let tax regime. So we're going to work on worst case scenario here, because actually we don't know just how far wide these changes will be. So what might happen? Well, Section 24 applies to properties owned in your own name. We all think this is likely to happen, that they're going to remove the mortgage interest relief on serviced accommodation properties, furnished holiday let type properties that are owned in your own name. So you've got a property in your own name, you've got a mortgage on it. We expect them to remove that mortgage interest relief. If after they remove that relief, you're still a 20% taxpayer, then this isn't an issue. But if you become a higher or additional rent taxpayer, you're going to be paying more tax on that income. No capital allowances. They might pull capital allowances. We don't know. Our capital allowances surveyor is relatively optimistic that they're not going to, because there's very, very little mention of capital allowances anywhere. So let's face it, they might just be talking about removing the Section 24 type or the mortgage interest relief. They might just be talking about that. They might not be talking about capital allowances. So he thinks that capital allowances are not going to be affected. But I'll talk more about that in a minute. Even if that does happen, it's still a case of keep calm and carry on. No entrepreneurs relief when closing your SA business. So it used to be the case that you could close your SA business and only pay 10% on closing down that business. So they're going to take that away, or probably going to take that away. So what happens to existing capital allowance losses when that happens? So if those of you that have already claimed capital allowances, what is going to happen? Caroline Knight have already claimed capital allowances. What's going to happen there? We will find out. So if they're going to remove capital allowances, is that going to, are they going to backdate it? We don't know. Hopefully not. We're just working on worst case scenario. Will it affect business rates? Again, we don't know. I'm quite optimistic that they won't affect business rates, but we will find out in due course. One of the things that we've got to consider is at what point do they decide, okay, well, we can't charge VAT on service accommodation income. So income from service accommodation being VATable. Well, if they stop it being a trade, then surely they also have to stop charging VAT. Okay, so actually, let's just see exactly what happens on that. So there could be some benefits further down the line. We will just see. So some positive changes. So no change in the budget on these ones. The VAT threshold, or positive changes, or no change. So VAT threshold raised to 90K. Now, in a minute, I'm going to talk about those of you that want to do rent to SA, because this is a benefit. This has made the playing field better for those of you that want to do rent to SA. So please show me your hand again, those of you that want to be doing rent to SA. Okay, the vast majority of the room doing or want to be doing rent to SA. So the VAT threshold raised to 90K. Capital gains tax for higher rate taxpayers reduced from 20% to 24%. So they've made that better when disposing of property. No change to TOM. So this is a major rent to SA power play, especially with regards to the VAT threshold going up. I'll talk more about that in a minute. Now, those of you who come through the training, you'll be familiar with this particular table. By the way, those of you in the room, we're going to share the PDF of these slides with you guys in the room. Just, I see lots of people taking photos. But just to explain what we've got going on here, the old rules, planning, residential homes, C3, C4, furnished holiday let, C3, hotels, guest houses, C1, and then VAT does not apply to residential homes, you know, buy-to-lets and HMO, obviously your own home, but yes, applicable to furnished holiday let, and yes, hotels. Section 24, yes, applying to buy-to-lets, HMOs, not applying to furnished holiday let, not applying to hotels. Capital allowances, can't get it on buy-to-lets, HMOs, can on furnished holiday let and hotels, and council tax versus business rates, buy-to-lets, HMOs, council tax, furnished holiday let, business rates, and hotels, business rates. Now let's just look at what might change moving forward. So it is that column there, the furnished holiday let column, or short-term rental column, planning use class C5 England, C6 in Wales. VAT, still chargeable, probably. Section 24, yes, chargeable. Moving forward, probably. Capital allowances, maybe not. Council tax, business rates, literally don't know. There's been no mention, talk of it whatsoever, so we will find out in due course. So opportunities for professional service accommodation operators then. Do you think, show me your hand if you think people will leave the service accommodation sector as a result of whatever is definitely going to happen? You're right. Is that going to create opportunity? Yes or no?
Yes.
Hysterical headlines are going to help. I had somebody saying, oh, wow, you could do a piece, and it would get loads of reach out there. You could do a piece on how Jeremy Hunt has absolutely killed the service accommodation industry. Okay, well, yeah, thanks. That would get loads of reach, but it's not actually the message that I want to portray out there. Okay, but the thing is, there's going to be lots of hysterical headlines out there, isn't there? And that's just going to cause people to panic, like it did in lockdown, in the pandemic. Lots of hysterical headlines caused people to panic. I saw people shutting down their service accommodation businesses, handing back their buy-to-lets, handing back their rent to SAs, turning them back into buy-to-lets, people handing back SA management properties, literally panic. And at the same time, other people were just growing their service accommodation business. So historical headlines are going to act in your favour. Fear of registration and licensing. So people are literally going to pull out of the sector because they don't want to register or license their properties. Poor standards. People won't meet the requirements. Literally, people are going to pull out of this sector. And what's that going to do? Less supply, more demand. Therefore, higher profit for those people still doing service accommodation. Is this all making sense so far, team?
Yes.
Less competition in the marketplace. Now, rent to serviced accommodation then. Let's talk about the benefits, even if worst case scenario, to you and to the landlord. So first off, if you are taking somebody else's property and using it as serviced accommodation, the property is, you're going to keep the property in show home condition. Is that attractive to the landlord's team? Yes or no?
Yes.
Long-term contract. So a nice long-term contract for having fixed rental income coming in on their property. Property kept in show home condition and getting their rent coming in on time every single month. And that could be a 2-year, 3-year, 4-year, 5-year. We've got rent to SA contracts 5 years plus, right? Well, I think the most is up to 5 years. So a long-term contract, is that attractive to landlords? Yes or no?
Yes.
Especially in the light of the renters reform bill, where they could have a tenant in a property that they can't get out because they've lost the right to serve a Section 21, no fault eviction, 2 months notice type paperwork. So especially in the light that they've lost that. But also the renters reform bill, their tenancies are going to become periodic tenancies. What does that mean? It means that tenants can just serve 1 month's notice and go at any time. So they're removing the right for landlords to issue 2 months' notice, and they are basically saying to tenants, don't worry about signing a year-long contract. You'll go straight in on a periodic contract, and the minute you want to leave, you can just serve 1 month's notice and bugger off. Is that going to upset landlords' team? Yes or no?
Yes.
Big time. Let's just talk about it. When tenants go, you've got voids, you've got to replace carpets, you've got to paint, you've got to pay bills and council tax, and sometimes double council tax, not more sometimes. You've got tenant referencing fees and agents' fees, and they take the first month's rent, basically. So very, very expensive to get voids in buy-to-lets for landlords. Am I right? Yes or no? So you're going to be the solution to that problem. So the renters reform bill, not in yet, come in. Yeah, so hold that thought. Is that a benefit to you, yes or no?
Yes.
No voids. No lengthy and costly evictions. So when they're removing the Section 21 and basically saying that if you want to get a tenant out who's trashing your property, being antisocial, not paying rent, all of those things, which happens to landlords a lot. Show me a hand in this room if any of that has happened to you as a landlord. Lots and lots of hands going up. Painful, right? So ultimately what they're saying is you have to take the tenant to court to get them out. A judge is going to have to get them out. When you could just issue a Section 21, literally, if they didn't go after the Section 21, that in itself was grounds for possession. A judge could not deviate from that, could not overrule it. They didn't leave after Section 21, so they have to go. Now, it's up to the judge whether they go. Do you think judges want to evict tenants' team? Nope, they don't. So therefore, landlords are going to get absolutely stiffed by this renters reform bill when it's up to the judge whether or not they remove the tenant from the property or not. And then the judge doesn't give possession, then the landlord's left with said tenant and all of the court costs, and it just keeps going on and on and on. So actually, when this renters reform bill comes in, I think more and more landlords are going to think, sod this buy-to-let HMO malarkey, and that's where you guys come in. Everyone happy with this so far? Cool. benefits you. Minimal upfront costs. Who's done buy, refurbish, refinance into a buy-to-let? Show me a hand. Quite a few people going up in the room. You know, you're talking like 50-odd grand, even on a cheapy one these days, right? So rent to SA, let's say you need 5 grand. Obviously, other numbers are available, but let's just say it's 5 grand. How does that compare to normal property investing? Low VAT, TOMS, tour operators margin scheme. Those of you that are doing rent to SA, fixed rent, just as a little reminder on rent to SA. So you're paying fixed rent to the landlord. It could be direct to landlord, it could be via an estate agent, but fixed rent. The TOMS scheme, which is now case law, by the way, there's no discussion about this. There's no, my accountant thinks this, my accountant thinks that. It's law now, case law on TOMS. The TOMS scheme means that only your margin, or in other words, your profit, contributes towards your VATable income. What have they just done to the VAT threshold? They've just raised it by 5 grand. So you can have even more rent to SA properties before your income becomes VATable. Let's just think about this, right? If your turnover is 4 grand, so someone get a calculator out for me, please. Who volunteers to do calculator? Okay, Mark's going to do calculator. So income is turnover is 4 grand, right? We'll just use some round numbers here. Times that by 12 for your annual amount of turnover. 48 grand, times that by 2?
96.
Okay, so somebody that doesn't understand the TOMS scheme is going to be paying full VAT, basically, or maybe flat rate, but they're going to be paying VAT, okay, on 2 properties there, based on that scenario that I just gave. Whereas with TOMS, let's do it with TOMS then. Let's say your profit is, out of your 4 grand turnover, your profit is 1,000 times by 12. Times that by 7. 84. Okay, so you've now got 7 properties on the TOMS scheme. Your margin is 84. So that is literally 7 times as many properties on the TOMS scheme without paying VAT than if you were not on the TOMS scheme. So show me hand again, those of you that want to be doing rent to SA. Pretty cool, right? Whereas all of the naysayers, all of the people go, oh my God. Okay, the world has ended. They just get out of the sector, and that's where you guys come in. Yeah? Now, let's just get a little bit of real-time social proof in the room here. Because I know that when those of you that come through my training, I talk about creating a profit share with landlords. I talk about maybe doing service accommodation management, okay? But let's just talk about profit share with landlords first. So who's doing rent to SA in the room? Cool. How many hands did I get going up? So rent to SA is probably, I don't know, about 30, 40, something like that. How many are doing a profit share? Very, very, very few. So the vast majority of people, fixed rent. Vast majority of people doing fixed rent. Now, so therefore, most landlords, this is the reality of the situation. I'm going to have to change my tax slightly if they're removing Section 24 and if they're removing capital allowances. So in the past, I might say, well, if we do a profit share or we do service accommodation management or something like that, you can avoid Section 24 and claim capital allowances. In the vast majority of instances, the landlords say, come back to me and they say, I don't care. I just want fixed rent. Show me a hand in the room, those people that have had landlords say that to them. I just want fixed rent. That's the vast majority of people doing rent to SA in this room. I just want fixed rent. They're not like you guys. Yeah, they just want an easy life. They want simplicity and they're prepared to pay more tax just to get fixed rent. So therefore, moving forward, those of you that want to do rent to SA, that is actually what landlords want, just fixed rent. So even if Section 24 becomes an issue for them. They still just want fixed rent. Okay. Where do we get to? So minimum upfront. So we talk about Tom's high cash flow. So it's still high cash flow for you compared to doing buy to let. And I'll show you a little comparison scenario very soon. And it's flexible. Can you hand back a rent to SA if you decide to get out of the market? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, you could hand it back. Even if you've got a contract in place, you can hand the property back, because if you replace yourself as a tenant and you replace yourself with a tenant who passes tenant referencing, then you can just hand over the tenancy to somebody else, okay? By law, somebody can't be forced into financial hardship if there is an alternative situation. So by the way, you're not going to have a problem replacing yourself as a tenant, because you've got a property in show home condition that you can market for somebody to come in and take it off you. And as long as that person passes tenant referencing, and by the way, there's lots of people that want to rent properties out there, then they can come in, take over the rent, and then you can step back. So it's flexible. Everyone with me on this, yes or no?
Yes.
Cool, it's flexible for you. Service accommodation management then, let's talk about this. Benefits to the landlord. Again, property kept in show home condition, a long-term contract, no voids, no lengthy and costly evictions. So there's plenty of landlords that might still want to go down the SA management route as opposed to rent to SA. Higher cash flow. It could be a property where they're going to get better cash flow than if they are just getting fixed rent. So those of you that still want to continue doing SA management, that is still going to be of interest to landlords. For you, literally no upfront costs. You even get paid, okay, if you charge onboarding fees, you even get paid to take on SA management properties, which is therefore an infinite return on investment. Yeah, compared to other strategies, how cool is an infinite return on investment? It's low risk for you. It is also flexible. Now, let's just do a comparison now, even with the new rules, if we're working on worst case scenario. So the scenario here, 5-bed house, value £200,000, interest only mortgage of £150K, buy-to-let rent is £1,000, night rate, £180. So, rent coming in, £1,000. Mortgage at 5% is going to cost you £625. Operating expenditure, we always put, with buy-to-lets, you always put 10% of rent to one side for things like boilers need fixing and things like that. So monthly, you're putting 10% of that to one side. So operating expenses, £100. Section 24, tax. So for a higher rate taxpayer, that would be £125. Cash flow, £150. Okay, so that's buy to let. Serviced accommodation, let's work on, now R. Caroline created these slides. You know, you won't be surprised to hear. Okay, we're up quite late creating some slides for today's keynote at short notice. But we're working on revenue at 70% occupancy, £3,906. Higher mortgage interest rate at 7%, £875. Cleaning and bills, etc. So we're talking about cleaning and laundry, £700. TV license and broadband, £45. Counter tax or business rates. Insurance and bills, £400. OTA commission, £390. So we're adding all of those costs. Section 24 tax for a higher rate taxpayer would be £175. VAT, either unregistered or full VAT. So it could be either zero up to £650. By the way, those people take photos, we will give you the PDFs of these. So profit is either going to be 671 if you're on full VAT, up to 1,321. Does service accommodation for people that are owning the properties still look more attractive than buy to let? Yes or no? Show me hand if yes. it's still a lot more attractive, right? For those of you that still want to go and build your portfolios and not have tenants in your properties, you still get to make more money and you've got a lot more control over your personal estate. Let's just talk about apart hotels and commercial conversions now then. So this is a picture, those of you listening into the podcast, I'm currently showing a picture, blue one in the middle of our apart hotel down in Plymouth. And this is a screenshot of a commercial conversion into serviced accommodation. And this one is in Peterborough. And this is currently a joint venture partner of myself and Caroline, who is doing commercial conversions. He's done another big one in Peterborough as well, commercial conversion into serviced accommodation. And guess what? Nothing to be seen here, okay? None of this is going to be affected by any of the new legislation. So please show me your hand if either now or in the future you want to be doing turning guest house B&Bs into apart hotels and commercial conversions into serviced accommodation. Well, that's at least half of the room. Well, that's the future, isn't it? Okay, there's people already doing it in this room, or that is potentially the future. Guess what? Unaffected by any changes. So C1 properties, no Section 24, and still claim capital allowances. Now, if you're going to do a commercial conversion, as this our friend here has done in Peterborough, if you're going to do a commercial conversion into apartments, all you would do is keep it as a C1 property and not create individual C3 titles, because ultimately what you're doing there is creating a scenario where the furnished holiday let rules apply. Everyone following me there? So as this our friend has done, already done it, he didn't want to create individual titles, he wanted to keep it as a C1 commercial property, literally an apartment hotel, but with proper one and two bed apartments in the property. So that's something that you might well decide to do moving forward, because guess what? No Section 24 and massive capital allowances, sideways loss relief, all of that good stuff. Everyone okay with that? So guess what? He's probably thinking, boom, awesome, because lots of the smaller peeps will get out of the market. Yeah, and then that just creates more demand, less supply, and then he's thinking, get in. Right, so that is the future, isn't it? So the journey, therefore, rent to SA, SA management, still extremely viable moving forward, because most landlords literally don't care about Section 24 capital allowances, and the evidence is literally in this room. So Claire, you're doing both rent to SA and SA management. So with your rent to SAs, how many people just getting fixed rent?
Everybody.
And you've
got 10 rent to SAs.
10 rent to SAs and therefore 30-ish type SA management.
Yeah.
So everybody just wants fixed rent on the rent to SA. SA management wise, 30 odd properties, how many have claimed capital allowances?
Two.
Two? Yeah, two out of those. And one of those owners is in this room. So therefore, more sophisticated, had a little bit more education. So normal people out of them, just one. Normal people out there, normal landlords. So that's probably quite high. Is anyone else doing SA management and none of, or hardly any of your landlords? Yeah, Helen?
Zero.
Zero of your landlords have claimed capital allowances. Cool. So is that reassuring, guys? That actually the fact that landlords are unlikely to ever bother claiming capital allowances means you can still go and do SA management and nothing has changed here. Is this all making sense? Cool. Purchase to SA. So you might do rent to SA, SA management, and then go into purchase to SA. And we just demonstrated that purchase to SA is still better, in my humble opinion, than buy to let and HMO. Why do I feel particularly qualified to have this humble opinion? Because I've still got buy to lets and I've still got HMOs. Yeah, I don't buy those anymore. I still buy properties to use as service accommodation, and I still will. Everyone follow? So this is obviously the journey that many of you are on. And then turning guest house B&Bs into apartment hotels. definitely. And commercial conversions into apart hotels, absolutely, definitely, because those two on the right-hand side, no Section 24, and massive capital allowances, massive amounts of literally tax-free income. So you can still be on exactly the same trajectory as before. So the key message from this talk is to keep calm and carry on, because literally where there's adversity, there is opportunity. We've seen it time and time again. If you want to predict the future, you just look to the past. It always happens. And so we're still extremely excited about service accommodation. I'm quite liking the fact that lots of people will be panicking, and that I like the fact as well that there's lots of people that are going to get some advice that is literally incorrect. Very incorrect. I quite like that. Yeah, lots of people are just going to take their knowledge from the mainstream media or from the naysayers in certain Facebook groups. Good. Yeah, bye. See ya. Yeah, wouldn't want to be ya. Right, so off you go. So I quite like that. So what I want to do is just reassure you that it's all going to be fine. Yeah. A lot of, I always talk about over the years where people have said, oh, well, yeah, service accommodation, this and service accommodation, that, and then they literally do nothing. And then years later, they're watching other people's case studies, how they're cash flowing 10, 20 grand a year, sorry, a month in their service accommodation business. And they're thinking, oh, God, yeah, I wish I'd actually just got into service accommodation. And that the same is going to happen. There are people that are going to be starting and scaling service accommodation businesses this year, next year, the year after, et cetera, et cetera. So I want you to just be reassured that service accommodation is still going to be an awesome strategy. And where there's adversity, there is definitely opportunity. So thank you ever so much, everybody. Thank you for listening. And here's to your success in service accommodation, because remember, your future needs you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Serviced Accommodation Property Podcast. You can also follow me on social media and YouTube by searching The Property Soldier. Also check out my website, www.propertysoldier.co.uk, where you can learn even more about property investing and serviced accommodation.